Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Monica Ricks. Vice President Harris just debuted her new running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. The Democratic duo campaigning together for the first time now in Philadelphia. Minutes ago, Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro was pumped.
Are you ready to look the next president of the United States in the eye and say, hello, Madam President?
Many Democrats in Washington agree Walz is the right pick. Danielle Alvarez is a senior advisor for the Trump campaign.
It is clear that Kamala Harris bent the knee and picked someone who was as far left, weak, failed, and dangerously liberal as she is.
Walz has been credited for coining the term weird to describe Trump's running mate, J.D. Vance. The White House is weighing in on a Pakistani man with ties to Iran now who's been charged for plotting to kill Trump.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says the administration is aware of the indictment. She also says this is separate from the attempted assassination of former President Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania.
These threats arise from Iran's desire to seek revenge for the killing of Qasem Soleimani.
She also says the White House does not take this matter lightly.
We consider this a national and homeland security matter of the highest priority.
Linda Kenyon, CBS News, the White House.
Tropical Storm Debbie is already dumping heavy rains on South Carolina. CBS's Manuel Bajorquez is in Charleston.
The trouble with the slow-moving storm is it can create a slow-moving disaster. If it's just lingering over the area, not only is it dumping rain, but it's also pushing water up from the harbor as storm surge. So what does that mean? That this water then has nowhere to drain, and that's a big problem, especially during high tide.
The storm's killed at least five people so far, knocked out power to thousands, and affected hundreds of flights in and out of the region. Amit Allure just made history for Team USA at the Paris Olympics. She is now the youngest American to win a gold medal in wrestling. Team USA's men's basketball also has a shot at gold now after beating Brazil 122-87. An Algerian boxer, Imani Khalif, has advanced to the gold medal bout in women's boxing after beating a Thai boxer. Her victory follows a week of scrutiny over her gender. The yellow brick road could lead to Vegas.
You're up to see the wizard.
The Sphere is reportedly in talks with Warner Brothers now to adapt The Wizard of Oz for a one-of-a-kind immersive experience. The plan is to spend about $80 million to condense the film, add more visuals and sensory features, but it's unclear when it would open. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The two major presidential campaigns will hold competing events in Eau Claire Wednesday. Vice President Kamala Harris has had plans to hold a rally in Eau Claire since last week. Late Monday, Republican running mate J.D. Vance also announced plans to speak in Eau Claire. Stay tuned to this Civic Media station for live coverage. Meanwhile, Democrats say they're enthusiastic about having Tim Walz as Harris's running mate. Wisconsin Democratic Party Chair Ben Wickler.
We know Tim Walz. He knows us. We love him. Everyone in Wisconsin knows and loves someone like Tim Walz, and I think he's going to be a powerhouse fighter and champion to win this election.
Meanwhile, Wisconsin Republicans are trying to cast Walz as pushing the Democratic Party further to the left. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers hold on to first place. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Brewers back to a six-game lead in the NL Central Division. The Pirates are now in second. NFL, the Packers practice all week before they head to Cleveland against the Browns Saturday night. The Badgers offense had a good day in their practice and pads at UW-Platteville. Quarterback Tyler Van Dyke, with his best performance yet, hitting on some deep balls. Head coach Luke Fickell.
It's always going to be a winner. There's always going to be someone that doesn't win. That's the kind of the nature of the game.
And LA Chargers head coach Jim Harbaugh, still under fire as new evidence of cheating and sign stealing at Michigan are coming out in an NCAA report.
Never lie, never cheat, never steal. I was raised with that lesson. If you stumble, you apologize
and you make it right. Today, I do not apologize. I did not participate, was not aware, nor complicit in those said allegations. So for me, it's back to work and attacking with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
That's Jim Harbaugh with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A clearing sky for tonight. Low temperatures fall to the low 60s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, pleasant day with highs in the mid-70s. Upper 70s to around 80 with lots of sun Thursday, and mid-70s on Friday, more sun. It's 67 right now.
Maggie Dawn.
Coming up, Kamala Harris is in Eau Claire with her new running mate, Tim Walz. Jim Santel filling in for Maggie Dawn.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. This is the Shaw, WAUK. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who doesn't have 20/20 vision, even in hindsight, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, hey! How we doing, Wisconsin? Great to be here. We are on the air. We're live. We're doing radio. Conrad, we're doing radio.
Yes,
how do you feel?
I feel great.
All right. I feel great, too. This is a beautiful summer night here in the state of summer, also known as Wisconsin. The place to be in the summer. Gorgeous night here in downtown Green Bay as we broadcast live throughout our beautiful state. So wherever you are joining us from, welcome. I hope you had a great day, and I hope we make it a little better. I am Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. And Conrad, as always, is riding shotgun.
Yeah.
Ready to take some texts?
Of course.
We got a good question tonight, I think.
Yes, we do.
I'm excited. And we've got tonight's show, ladies and gentlemen, is all about comedy. We do this once in a while. Sometimes it just works out that way. Two great guests. They were both available tonight, so we went for it. So we are doing all things comedy, be it sketch, movies, stand-up. We're going to cover it all. My first guest tonight, joining us at 7:35, is Tony Boswell. He is also a writer and a producer and my old pal from Chicago stand-up comedy days. Tony and I actually worked Wisconsin together on more than one occasion in Milwaukee. And I'll ask Tony about that because we tried to find some tunnels that were used for bootlegging under the apartment they put us up in, which was fun. So we'll talk about that with Tony at 7:35, as well as some movies he's worked on. And then at 8:20, I have another friend joining me and a guy I've collaborated with on a couple of projects. I like to call him Tom Lennon because that's his name. He'll be here at 8:20. Tom's great. We worked on a movie called The Guy Thing that I co-wrote, and Tom was very funny in. And then a film I did called The Godfather of Green Bay, which you can rent on Amazon, Tubi, Fandango, all kinds of places. It's out there. Tom is very funny. He played a small-town MC who thought changing the name of his spelling, his name was Doug, he thought if he went by D-U-G, that would set him apart from the pack. I did write the character. I wrote the movie. I played the lead role, and I directed it. But Tom, in addition to another guest we've had on the show previously, Lance Barber, Eric Price, we've had a few cast members, Steve Segrin, Mike Siegel, Mike Toomey, on the show, Jimmy Pardo, had a lot of cast members because they're all my friends. Tom just elevated things and ad-libbed. I mean, he did it. He did the script how it was, and then he added stuff I couldn't even believe. I cannot believe how funny Tom Lennon is. So he will be here at 8:20. We'll catch up a little bit. We'll discuss what he's got going on and the movies we've worked on together. It'll be fun. And we have, okay, last week also, I gotta get into this because last week was National Clown Week. Most of the time, our questions of the day, sometimes they can be based on whatever the day is, the national day of the year, calendar. Clowns got a whole week. And I don't know why. They have a history here in America, worldwide. The circus, all kinds of stuff. Bozo, Ronald McDonald. Clowns can be lovable. Clowns can be creepy. And that's tonight's question, folks. How do you feel about clowns? Very simple. Scary, heartwarming, funny, terrifying. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. That's right, folks. You waited all day. You worked hard today. You made people happy around you. You put in your time. And now, tonight, you get to share your opinion on clowns. And then talk to us as we welcome funny guests. As always, you are welcome to chime in about anything we're talking about. Conrad, how can people watch the radio tonight?
Yeah. So
you got it up and running? Okay. Wow, that's a weird angle. Look at all the furniture.
Yeah, right. On Facebook, we're under Nightlight with Pete Schwabba or WGBW on YouTube or... YouTube. We're under WGBW or Civic Media, and on Twitter or X, Civic Media.
Folks, if you can see me holding up this pen jar, let me know. I want to make sure. It's like a mirror. Should I rearrange these pens? Is this okay for radio, do you think?
It looks fine to me.
I don't know what's going on. We usually don't have the pens in the shot. We usually have a different angle, right?
Yeah.
You're getting my bad side. All right. Tune in, YouTube, Facebook, or at WGBW. It'd be great to have you folks. You can watch the radio, you can listen, whatever works. Give us a like or a follow if you can on any one of the platforms. Always appreciated if you're enjoying the show. Chime in, whatever we're talking about. You guys should know by now you're welcome to. We love when you're part of the show. So this is, how do you feel about clowns, Conrad?
I don't really like clowns that much.
Okay. Why? Well, Conrad's getting a call.
let me take
He's getting a personal call. I have to, there's some great little tidbits of information out today regarding movies and TV that I found with the help of Todd Michaels. This makes, a lot of times you watch a movie and you see a setting and it's the same setting. You're like, I swear I've seen that before. Like every Nicolas Cage movie shot in Louisiana on Netflix in like the mid 2000s. But also I found out today that Ernest Goes to Jail, one of my personal favorites, and The Green Mile were filmed at the same abandoned prison in Tennessee. Now I would not have noticed that because I've never seen Ernest Goes to Jail. I didn't see the first one and I thought I would have been lost, but that doesn't surprise me. Also, this was kind of cool. The first movie with a CGI character in the lead role was Casper in 1995. Boy, CGI has come a long way. And I still don't mind it. Like, it was great in Twisters, but give me a movie where you don't really need CGI. I know with Marvel and all the big action films, you got to have it. But anyway, there you go. Casper was the first CGI character in the lead role. He never did a sequel because he binged too much cocaine and asked for too much money and made too many demands. So he was replaced. So Conrad, how are we doing? Did you get a call?
I did.
What happened? Is everything okay? Did we pay the rent?
Yes, we did.
Okay, good. We don't have to leave.
All right. I'll let you know at the break.
Sure. Fair enough. So I had, have you ever had a mouse in your apartment or your house?
I can't remember if I have or not.
I think you'd know.
Yeah, I would know, I feel like. Not in my current apartment, definitely not.
I never had one in, like, when I lived in a bigger city. But here in Wisconsin, the home I lived in junior high, I think we might have had one. Where my parents live now, they've had a couple. We tend to get one every year or two. They come in during the cold. Well, a couple weeks ago, we got one. I caught it. My bare hands, taught it a lesson. I killed it and left it on the floor as an example for the other mice. No, but I caught it. We got rid of it. My wife said 2 nights ago, I think we have a mouse again. I'm like, you're kidding me. Apparently it started eating a peach that was in a bowl on the counter. So I was like, I hate little things that are fast. I would rather have like a mountain lion in my house than something little and quick that I can't see. I find that terrifying. So I set a trap last night before I go to bed, and I set traps before in the past, like when I've been watching TV, I'm like, I'm going to set a mouse trap. I put it there. I sit down for 3 seconds and the thing snaps. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. So in the morning, I find it's easier to deal. When you've caught a mouse, it's easier in the morning because the sun is up. I'm not as scared. So I just go dump it. But I hate the idea of catching a mouse in the middle of the night for whatever reason. So I'll set the trap and I'll hop into bed and deal with it in the morning. So last night, my wife wakes up at 5 o'clock in the morning and she says, I hear scratching. Something's going on. I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, well, I feel like I hear a mouse or something. Well, I set a trap last night. She goes out in the kitchen. There's no trap. I'm like, so I get out of bed. It's 5. I don't go to bed until 2 o'clock in the morning. So I'm really crabby. And now I've got to deal with a mouse with an attitude. So I look in the kitchen. The trap's not there. And she keeps questioning me, like, are you sure you said it? Are you sure you didn't imagine that you said it? Or you were tired? I'm like, I know that I set a mouse trap. So after 20 minutes of looking, we realized the mouse had pulled the trap to my daughter's bedroom and it got snagged on the door underneath. So the mouse got underneath the door. The trap was stuck on the other side of the door and I see the thing moving and it's making this little noise like the thing is still alive in the trap, fighting for its life. So I don't even like taking a dead mouse from a trap and tossing it in the garbage or flushing it or whatever. Now I got to deal with a live one whose tail is flipping around. Horrifying, folks. If you have a mouse story, feel free to share it. So I tossed it in the woods. I flung the trap. I opened it as I flung. It was a beautiful piece of athleticism. And the mouse went flying. I don't know. It probably beat me back to the house. Maybe it has a broken leg. I don't know. I didn't take it to the vet. I feel bad, but you can't have them in your house. They do carry germs. And we, like I said, we don't have them that often. We keep our house pretty clean. It's just, they get in somehow. So if you have a mouse story, please feel free to call. It might be easier to talk on the phone about a mouse story or share it via text. Either way. Also let us know how you know about clowns or how you feel about clowns. 855-752-4842. You know what this phone number, Conrad, that people use to text in on the show? It's like a derivation. There's two separate former Schwab phone numbers in there. So I always get confused. Not the 855 part. But that's the number to get a hold of us, 855-752-4842, or text us on the app. If you have not downloaded the Civic Media app, you really should. It's very easy to use, and it's very easy to text in. We are on statewide, so all you have to do is click the little text icon. And I'd love to hear from you. Also, great movie dropped today, Collateral. We'll talk about that maybe tomorrow. We've got too much comedy going on tonight. I can't bring in a Tom Cruise, Jamie Foxx clip or talk about it when we have so much laughter ahead. It's exciting. We're going to hear a little bit from Tony Boswell. We have a great clip of Tony's stand-up. A clip of Tom Lennon. Go ahead, Conrad. Tell him what it's called.
New boots goofing.
New boot goofing from Jim Dangle from Reno 911. A lot of comedy. Great to have you with us here tonight on Nightlight, folks. A Tuesday edition. Hope you're having a great night. More comedy, as always, coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network. The Shaw, W-A-U-K, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Peach Waba.
Get ready, Waukesha. Here comes Y2K, your 2000s tribute band straight out of Chicago, playing all the hits from the dawn of a new millennium. Join us on August 13th at the beautiful Frame Park Amphitheater located at 1240 Frame Park Drive for Tribute Tuesday. From 7 to 9 p.m., Y2K will be rocking the stage with all of your favorite 2000 anthems from the Backstreet Boys, Blink-182, Destiny's Child, Taylor Swift, Carly Rae Jepsen, Shania Twain, Pink, Miley Cyrus, Fall Out Boy, and more. It's an outdoor concert, so don't forget to bring the lawn chairs and blankets to kick back and enjoy the show. Mark your calendars and join us for an unforgettable evening of music, memories, and fun. That's Y2K at Frame Park Amphitheater, 1240 Frame Park Drive on August 13th from 7 to 9 p.m. See you there.
If you can't make it in person, hear the entire show live on 540 AM WAUK, starting at 7 p.m. Sponsored by the Waukesha Parks Rec and Forestry Department.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Something familiar, something peculiar, something for everyone, a comedy tonight. Something appealing, something.
That's right, folks. Comedy tonight, coming your way. Just a few minutes. Very funny. Tony Boswell will be here. He is a film producer and screenwriter and stand-up comedian. Very funny guy. I've known Tony for years. And Tom Lennon from Reno 911. He also wrote The Pacifier, Night at the Museum, and many, many other films. Tom will be here at 8:20. We talked to Tom a little earlier, and we will play that conversation at 8:20. That's coming up. Tom's a lot of fun to talk to, as is Tony. We got comedy tonight. It's all things comedy on Nightlight. And our question tonight is, how do you feel about clowns? Last week was National Clown Week. That's right. They had a whole week, National Clown Week. And clowns are big in Wisconsin because Baraboo, I think, is the home of the some kind of clown or circus home. I got to, Conrad, take a moment. We got to Google that. I don't, there's something going on with clowns in Baraboo. I know that much. And I remember meeting Stevie Vento in Milwaukee was the original big boy. And there was another guy named AJ who was like the original Ronald McDonald. They were both from Wisconsin. So Wisconsin has a history with clowns. But it's weird when you meet a clown. I've worked on the road with a guy who like stand-up was his side hustle back in the 90s. And he was a clown. And I think about it in terms of like mob movies. He's a clown. Or my dad would say, quit clowning around. So I can't, it was hard to take things, you know, it was hard to hear that word because I didn't consider clowns like a real profession, but it is. And some of them made a ton of money. Bozo, Ronald McDonald, all these like circus clowns. So they've also been portrayed horribly in movies. Like they're killers.
Yeah.
Or John Wayne Gacy is associated with clowns. So they have kind of this dual dealio. But tonight's question is, how do you feel about clowns? Would love to know. Lay it on us. Text us. Call us. Let us know. Steve from Florida is checking in. He says, speaking of clowns. Oh, wait a minute. Somebody said John Wayne. Jim from Appleton said, clowns? Creepy? Thinking of Pennywise, killer clowns from space. And, of course, John Wayne Gacy. Yeah, there you go. Anna from the 608 says, hi, Pete and Conrad. I don't like clowns. They have never made me laugh. I remember the murderer, John Wayne Gacy, did clown art. That's the second reference already to Gacy. Hey, Pete, yes, we can see your awesome collection of pens. Steve, you are welcome to swing by the studio and borrow a pen as needed. Don't hesitate. We've got a collection. We've got ballpoints. We've got Bics, rolling writers. We've got an assortment here. I think they're all Jim Schmidt's, but we can sell them. I don't think Jim would care. Sarah from Alloway says, clowns equals scary stuff. Zero stars. Not a fan. Sarah, not holding back. Paula, Conrad's mom, checking in. Clowns are creepy. That seems to be the consensus here. And then Steve says, speaking of clowns, interesting fact about Conrad. Steve is Conrad's dad. When he was 7 years old, his cousin and Conrad graduated from clown school at the Circus World Museum in Baraboo, yeah. Wisconsin, home of the Ringling Brothers Circus. That's what's there.
Yes.
At the end of their full week training, they put on an Academy Award-winning, I think your dad is taking liberties there, Conrad, Academy Award-winning performance under the big top. How did you not share this, Conrad?
It's a part of my past. I don't want to relive.
Oh, my gosh. You almost went down that path.
I almost did.
You would be sitting across from me right now in full makeup, big shoes.
You know, honestly, I totally forgot what I even did during that thing. I don't remember if I was a clown or... memory. I don't know. Yeah.
That's hilarious. Great text. Keep them coming, folks. How do you feel about clowns? You can text us on the stream. Our stream is down right now, I think. We'll get it back up and running. All right, so we have... All right, like I mentioned before, two great guests tonight. Tony Boswell is coming along shortly. At 7:35, he will be here. He's a producer, writer, and a stand-up comedian. We have some of Tony's stand-up from a recent, semi-recent set he did. Conrad, let's hear some Tony Boswell first.
So I was thinking about this. Men and women are different for obvious reasons, but I think it starts in the brain. I think women think differently than men, you know, or men think differently than women, however you want to look at it. I'll give you an example. Here's an argument or a disagreement between two men, and then the same disagreement between a woman and a man. Okay, first guy says, I don't think most Holiday Inns have a restaurant or a bar inside. And the second guy will say, actually, I think most Holiday Inns do have a restaurant or a bar inside. And the first guy will say, well, why do you think that? And the second guy will say, I travel a lot and I stay in a lot of hotels, and my experience has been that the majority of Holiday Inns actually have a restaurant or a bar inside. And the first guy will say, cool. Now, a woman and a man. The woman will say, I don't think most Holiday Inns have a restaurant or a bar inside. And the guy will say, actually, I think most Holiday Inns do have a restaurant or a bar inside. And the woman will say, no, they don't. And a guy will say, actually, I travel a lot and I stay in a lot of hotels, and my experience has been that the majority of Holiday Inns actually do have a restaurant or a bar inside. And the woman will say, no, they don't. And the guy will go, no, seriously, I'm on the road like 200 days a year, and I stay in about 50 Holiday Inns every year, and every Holiday Inn I've ever stayed in has had a restaurant or a bar inside. And the woman will say, no, they don't. So the guy will go on the internet to holidayinn.com, right, and he'll download the list of every Holiday Inn in the United States. It's got a restaurant or a bar, and there's 842, by the way. And he'll print it out, and then he'll get a map of the United States. He'll put push pins in the location of every damn Holiday Inn that's got a restaurant or bar, and he'll give it to her, and she'll say, you're a jerk. So I am married.
That's Tony Boswell. That's the comedy stylings of Tony Boswell. Very funny Tony Boswell, who will be here in about 10 minutes. And then we have another. All right, this is my favorite. Tom Lennon, we're going to play that interview at 8:20, and he sticks with me for the rest of the show. Tom is very fun to talk to. Here is a clip. If you have not checked out Reno 911, Tom plays Lieutenant Jim Dangle, who wears very short shorts and often will wear cowboy boots. He's got the mustache, the aviator sunglasses. And this is Tom, whose character went to purchase some new boots. So in this clip, it's not that long, but Tom is, you know, he's kind of dancing around, looking at himself, walking in his new, are they ostrich skin, Conrad?
Yeah.
The skit is called New Boot Goofin', and you have to picture Tom kind of striking poses in his new white boots. All right, go ahead.
Ah! Sorry, my brakes are getting squirrely on me. Oh, I've had some boots on layaway here at Zapateria La Bailarina. For Western fashions here in Reno, you really can't beat Zapateria La Bailarina. Well, you can, but not at these prices, really. Let's do it. It's go time. Genuine ostrich. Three payments. Oh! Wait, what? I'm just goofing. New boot goofing. Oh!
New boot goofing. That's brilliant.
I think it's funny at the end of that scene, his bike is in the middle of a light post. Oh, how did he get there?
He's so funny. Tom will be here at 8:20, and we'll talk about our work. Tom was in Northeast Wisconsin working on The Godfather of Green Bay 20 years ago, almost. It was a blast. He's a very fun guy to have around. But coming up next, my old buddy Tony Boswell, we've got stories about looking for bootlegging tunnels and road stories and producing movie stories. That's coming up next. Also, let us know. Oh, here we got Anna says, today is also Lucille Ball's birthday. There you go, Anna. Thank you for sharing that. And then Nick from the 651 says, would like a small response to his. I don't understand that. I don't think that was meant for us. Conrad, we had a caller too. What did he say about the clowns?
He said, can clowns get out of politics? That was Jim from Cambridge.
That's kind of I think a lot of people think politicians are clowns. I'm okay with that. All right, Tony Boswell coming up next after award-winning news here at Civic Media. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. And it breaks my heart from a teardrop fall.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Up North News Radio.
CBS News Special Report. Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris and her running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, make their joint debut before rally attendees in Philadelphia. Walz stresses unity.
Over those next 91 days and every day in the White House, I'll have Vice President Harris's back.
The new Democratic VP nominee goes after GOP presidential nominee Donald Trump.
He mocks our laws. He sows chaos and division. And that's to say nothing of his record as president.
In a campaign fundraising email circulating, former President Trump says Minnesota Governor Tim Walz would be, quote, the worst VP in history. Daniel Alvarez, a senior Trump advisor for the Trump campaign, says Walz is too liberal.
It is clear that Kamala Harris picked someone who was as far left, weak, failed, and dangerously liberal as she is.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Another inmate has died at the Waupun State Prison. The initial investigation points to suicide. It's the fifth time an inmate has died at Waupun since June of last year. Nine people, including the former warden, were arrested earlier this year on felony charges connected to some of those deaths. Swing state polls show Kamala Harris has erased Donald Trump's lead. Marquette poll director Charles Franklin says it appears President Biden dropping out of the race is a game changer, at least for now.
Democrats who were very unenthusiastic when Biden was the candidate have now become almost as enthusiastic as Republicans, erasing an advantage that Republicans have had all year.
Franklin speaking with Wisconsin Eye. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A fatal hit-and-run incident in Milwaukee has led to five felony charges against a 14-year-old. Zacchaeus Joshua Alexander allegedly stole a Hyundai, committed a robbery, and led police on a high-speed chase before fatally striking a motorcyclist during the Harley rally. After fleeing the crash scene, Joshua Alexander was found and admitted to his involvement. At an immigration roundtable event in Milwaukee Monday, White House senior advisor Tom Perez used a quote from former President Ronald Reagan to make a point. Perez cited Reagan to emphasize that the lack of bipartisanship on immigration reform has forced the Biden administration to issue an executive order. That's to ease a path to legal status for DACA recipients. The order allows Dreamers who have lived in the U.S. for at least 10 years and are married to a citizen to apply for a permanent visa without leaving the country. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A clearing sky for tonight. Low temperatures fall to the low 60s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny. Pleasant day with highs in the mid-70s. Upper 70s to around 80 with lots of sun Thursday, and mid-70s on Friday, more sun. It's 67 right now.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A lot of people, I think, are going to be seeing Twisters this weekend. I mean, the movie.
Welcome to Merlot with the Movies. So without spoilers, what'd you think?
I actually really, really, really loved it. When it came down to the science, what they were talking about, the tips and tricks, I was impressed. It really helps, too, with people that are scared of storms. If you do want the full effect, see it in theaters.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, 1133, Dr. Laura Hanks with public cervix announcement. Send in your questions to janesays@civicmedia.us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Welcome back. How do you feel about clowns? Last week was National Clown Week. They had a whole week, folks. Seems a bit much. But so far, the responses have not been encouraging if you're a clown. You can share if you have a favorite clown or weigh in if you are a pro or con clown. So far, we've gotten mostly cons. Wouldn't you agree? Con? Con with a K?
Yeah, I would say no one's just like, yeah, I love clowns.
Well, who's going to say, what adult is it? I love clowns. Like,
I just don't think it's something, if you saw it at night, you'd run away from.
Well, absolutely. Remember, they shot that film here in Green Bay a few years ago called Gags the Clown, and that was a brilliant marketing campaign. They had this, like, clown with black makeup holding black balloons, and they would take pictures of him at underpasses around Green Bay, and it made national news. It made, like, the Today Show.
Yeah, no thanks.
Creepy clown. No thanks. And then they ended up making a movie out of it that played here locally. So that was fun. Oh, you know what? We should have got Adam on. Take a memo. Conrad memo. We got to get Adam on. He's the director of the film. Okay. Tom Lennon coming up at 8:20. That will be fun. And we've got more fun comedy tonight, folks, top to bottom. It is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight for the first time a comedian, producer, writer, and my old pal, Tony Boswell, joins us now on Nightlight. Hey, Tony.
Hey. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I can see you and I can hear you. It's good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you, man.
Likewise. I'm glad you were able to do the stream. It's like Zoom, sort of, but it's a little bit better sound quality than the phone, typically. But it's just good to be in your presence, my friend.
I felt really old there for a minute. Can you hear me? Is it working?
Calling
my mom.
What?
Is this on?
We can hear you loud and clear. Let's get one thing out of the way. You and I have worked on something in the past, and it was a sitcom. I don't know if you remember this. I'm sure you remember it. It was called The 19th Hole. You, me, Mike Siegel, and Pete Lipsey tried to write a sitcom, and nothing ever happened with it. But boy, was that fun.
I still have a copy of every script that we wrote, and I still have a copy of that, or first draft, or whatever version draft it was.
Hang on to it.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to give up just yet. But
hold on to everything.
That to me, Tony, honest to God, was like the best. You know, you have your ups and your downs in this crazy business, but just working collaboratively with people who truly make you laugh is what it's all about. Yeah. And that was really fun. I remember meeting at Lipsey's house or Siegel's apartment or whatever, and just laughing our butts off all night and eating pizza. It was just so much fun.
As I was just thinking about Pete Lipsey the other day. You know, he first started comedy and he was calling himself Pete Des Moines. Do you remember that?
Oh my gosh. Yes. I didn't until you said that.
And he said he kept that because he went to college in Des Moines. And he, the first time he got booked in Des Moines, he felt like such an idiot that he went back to Lipsey. By the way, where did you pull that clip of me? That was
just YouTube.
That was my closer for a long time, but that version that you guys played had to be like the first time I ever did it.
Oh, really?
Because I was listening to it and I'm like, no, you're supposed to pause. I'm like, you're doing it wrong. No, that's not how that part goes. There's supposed to be a big pause right there.
Oh, that's I don't think anybody would have known that until you just said that. So now they're critiquing it. But I remember you used to go up. The first time I think I ever saw you, Tony, you were at the Roxy in Chicago. It was that really cool little joint on Fullerton. I was still a student.
First place I ever did stand up.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
I was a student at DePaul, and I knew they had open mics, and I went down there, and your opening line was, you looked at the crowd, and you said, hold on a second, folks. And then you looked at your watch, and you said, I'm blowing up someone's car. You waited a couple seconds, and you're like, okay, we can start now.
I loved it because I had a timer on my watch, so I knew how long I'd be up there. Oh, and I used to do that in Indianapolis, and the club owner hated it. She wouldn't book me back because she hated that joke.
You know what I used to, okay, that's so weird you say that, because Indianapolis, I used to do this thing in my act where I would say, every premise I brought up, like I'd say, I'm married. Is that a big thing to be here in Indianapolis? I'm from out of town. Like, I don't know anything about you people. And I would beat that into the ground for 30 minutes or 45 minutes. And I would ask it about 20 times. And the crowd is either with you and they think it's more hilarious every time. Like, I've got kids. You guys have kids. Is that a big thing to have here in Indianapolis? And the club owner loved it. And every time I went back, are you going to do that thing again? And I was like, well, yeah. So, you know, that's so crazy.
Yeah, you're hoist on your own petard. Now you have to do it.
Now you have to do it. So
listen, I have a really long story I'd like to tell about setting a mouse trap. Do you have like 5 minutes? I can.
Was it that long? That happened last night. It was awful. And you know what? A couple of weeks ago on this show, I told a story about like five dead squirrels that fell out of, well, the rodent guys think they fell out of a tree into a garbage can we had that had water in it, died and decomposed. And it was the most awful thing I've ever seen in my life. And we had to call someone to deal with it. It was that bad.
Yeah.
So this
they
has
fell
been like
into the can alive, but then they couldn't get out.
Correct. Like the whole nest probably fell in there. And so this has kind of been Pete's rodent summer. So it's been fun.
I know you feel you felt bad about the mouse that was still alive because I had some in my garage and I set humane traps.
We've
right?
tried
so
those,
I could,
yeah.
Like take them and put them in somebody else's yard, you know, so it wasn't my problem.
Right.
And every time I would catch one, they would like beat themselves to death trying to get out and they'd be dead by that time. Yeah.
Oh, that's an almost more horrible way. Yeah, we have
it's
the ones
worse.
That just like
yeah, isn't it?
Yeah, like snaps their neck right away. Which is so terrible about those though, Tony, is like there's a little circle and their head gets caught in there and their eye is looking up at you when you go to it's like you feel like the worst person in the world. It's so horrible. Since I've done nothing but talk about rodents for the better part of the summer, let's transition to a movie. I think it's so funny that I knew that you had worked on a guy thing, but I kind of, it just had slipped my mind. It had been so long, but I remember you telling me that you and Greg wrote a first draft when you and I were working together in Milwaukee. And it's weird that all this stuff like kind of comes back to you. But,
well, everybody forgets because, you know, Greg had done Meet the Parents and then he was still in Chicago and we were working on that draft. And I think he actually wrote a first draft with Mary Ruth. And this was like a second draft. And then he moved to LA and was working with you on it.
Right.
But then you guys got production. And so I got a buyout of any rights that I had. Nice. Yes. Yeah. Well, it was supposed to be $1,000 up front and $1,000 after production. Well, everybody forgot I was involved because I never got the second $1,000. I was literally flipping channels one day at home and this movie comes on. I'm like, this sounds really familiar. I'm like, wait a minute. I go to the guide. I go, this is the movie that I worked on.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah. Greg was helping me on something else. Then he brought that in and he kind of cut me in and then we kept working on it. And pretty soon it was like, all right, now it's both of us, you know, because we had done so much work on it. But I remember one of the gags you told me about was still in there and it was really fun. Like the first script I read that you guys wrote, I thought was hilarious because we've both typed for Greg. I mean, written with Greg.
Yeah. Believe me, we can do a whole other 2-hour show.
Oh, that's great. So tell us about, he's been on the show. You guys wrote a film called The Road Dog and shot it a couple years ago. Disclaimer, I play a club owner in it. That was a lot of fun, and I really like the film. What's going on with that right now? Where can people see it, and are you happy with how it turned out?
You know, I'm very happy with the final product, considering, and obviously you know, having made Godfather of Green Bay, all the problems and everything that you can have, but considering where we were a week prior to production and then what we came away with, I'm very proud of it. You know, it's out, it's available. It's on Apple. If you want to rent it, it's, you know, just renting, Apple's the first choice. If you have your choices, it's also on Amazon, but we get a bigger cut off Apple. It costs the same to anybody who wants to watch it, but we get a little bit more off of Apple.
Sure.
But it's on a million, it's like on Xbox and DirecTV and Spectrum. So it's on all the streaming platforms to rent.
And you got Doug Stanhope, who does a great job. Yeah. And it's sort of not autobiographical, but Doug has kind of lived that role. He still works the road. And
well,
he
it's autobiographical for me. Because, you know, Doug plays a 50-something alcoholic comedian who's been on the road for 30 years, whose girlfriend's name is Karen. And when we wrote it, I was a 50-something alcoholic comedian who spent 30 years on the road, whose wife's name was Karen, which we changed to Laura just because of all the baggage around the name Karen. But to me, it was always, you know, I know this guy, you know, I did all these things.
Yeah, it's funny. Did you bring like any of your stories regarding, obviously, in the movie, I love the twist that he connects with, you know, because this has happened with a lot of comedians. They fooled around on the road. Next thing you know, 10 years later, hey, I'm your son or your daughter or whatever. Yeah. And you guys added that element, which I thought added a lot to the story. I thought it was great.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm always influenced by great things. You know, I always I had this other idea, which I jokingly called The Color of Funny. It was like Paul Newman and Tom Cruise, but they were comedians, you know, and he picks up this kid on the road because he's got a car and he can drive him.
Oh, nice.
To the gigs. Yeah. And so a lot of that got incorporated into this story. And you know, the whole thing was based on somebody that we know. I probably shouldn't say his name, but an alcoholic comedian in Chicago who was trying to get sober. And when he went on stage sober, the magic was gone.
Amazing.
Yeah. And that was the story. It was at Riddle's Comedy Club one night, and I saw this happen, and Greg and I were talking about it, and that was the impetus for the entire story. The scene where you're actually the club manager, where he has that great meltdown, that was the impetus for the whole story.
Wow. So you're saying I'm sort of responsible for the whole project.
That's right.
Listen, I have no problem taking credit.
Gilardo wasn't available, so, you know.
I'll play second banana to anybody. I don't care. Credit's a credit. My guest is Tony Boswell. He is a stand-up comedian, producer, and an excellent writer, and he joins me here on Nightlight. It's funny. I've talked about this with other comics on the show before. When I started doing stand-up, I was so amazed that most of the headliners I worked with were complete partiers who drank too much or had to go into rehab and stop drinking. There's very few guys that were in the middle of the road there, you know? Did you have that experience as well?
You know, and it changed. And, you know, I always wished that I had started like 5 years earlier. You know, there were so many people that got swept up if they started in the early 80s, you know, that made it. And we kind of started after the boom was on, you know? There was a lot more competition. But, yeah, I missed all those stories people talking about. They used to get paid in cocaine at the club and... So I kind of missed that. But in the beginning, it was always like you'd work with the headliner and he's like, you want to go party? And then after a few years, it became, you want to go to the gym with me? You want to go? You know what I mean? So I definitely saw a lot of those people disappeared. You can imagine why.
Absolutely. All right. So coming up next, Tony and I are going to talk about, I want to ask you about another film you worked on called Out of the Loop. I've had the director, Michael Alexander, on the show, one of the producers, Dwayne Kennedy. And I would love to get your take on it and what that was like making a film about stand-ups and how much you must have laughed just getting through that with some of the guys you interviewed, like Bob Odenkirk and Jeff Garlin and Dwayne and all these funny people. And then I'm going to ask you, Tone, about if you remember Milwaukee trying to find the bootleg tunnels under the apartment.
I do.
All right, cool.
We'll talk, condo. Yeah,
we'll talk about that, too. All right, Tony Boswell is here hanging out on a Tuesday night on Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Yeah!
Shaw, WAUK.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today I've got some wonky terminology, so bear with me. I'm talking about credit utilization and how that affects your credit score. Credit utilization just means how much of your credit you're using. So let's say you have a $10,000 limit on your credit card. Now, lots of us think it's okay to spend up to that $10,000 every month as long as you pay it off in full at the end of the month. Well, it turns out the credit bureaus, these agencies that assign us our credit scores, they only want us to use maybe 10, 20, or maximum 30% of our credit limit each month, like $1,000 to $3,000 tops if you've got $10,000 in credit. And your credit utilization counts for 30% of your total credit score. I don't love the rules, but knowing them helps us manage our credit scores the way we want to. For more about credit scores or just about getting good at money, check out my videos at Work Money Media on YouTube.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Todd Allball Show. Down, down, down. Come on! We go twister, we go
out with the night. We come home on the show. Who keeps calling? I keep thinking we're going to get a clown call.
Yeah, just... People looking for a different radio.
Looking for the politics. My guest is Tony Boswell. He joins us on the stream here at Nightlight. Did you ever work with clowns, Tony, when you were like, there were a couple that did stand up like as a side hustle, and they would refer to their real gig as clowning. And then, you know, I do the clowning. I could never take them seriously. It sounded like my dad like yelling at me, quit clowning around, you know.
Yeah. These are those people that like, grow up wanting to do that their whole life, like somebody becoming a mime and then finding out how hated they are by everybody in the world. I will say there's two. Did you ever work with TC Hatter?
Oh, wow. I don't know if I did. I remember the name, though.
I mean, technically, I think he was a clown because he had some grease paint, but it was sort of a mime show, but it was amazing. His wife, Marcianne, would play the clarinet behind and sort of score whatever was happening, but he would get people from the audience up and teach them how to do things without ever saying a word. So that was probably the only one I can. There's another guy, a dark figured clown guy, I can't think of his name.
Wisconsin. Wisconsin had a lot of clowns. They had Steve Vento was the big boy, and then the AJ, can't remember the rest of his name, but both real nice guys. And he was Ronald McDonald, and they would go up and do stand up. And I was like,
yeah,
all right, well, whatever.
Well, you mentioned Baraboo. I think it was like the winter home of all the circuses.
Ringling Weren't Brothers. They...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. So where are you at, Tony, on clowns? yay or nay?
I don't have a strong opinion. Did you ever see Shakes the Clown? That was a good movie.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. Shakes the Clown was good. And Jeff Garland, Bill Leff was on the show once, and he told me that Garland hated the crowd at some one-nighter they did. So Garland went in and took a birthday cake and painted it all over his face and did like 20 minutes as Cakey the Clown. And the audience, you thought they hated him before, you know, he just kept going.
Bob Boltwaite was supposed to be in the Road Dog.
Oh, really?
The friend Mikey was originally going to be Michael Biehn from Terminator and Mandalorian.
Oh yeah, he was a dad at our grade school in LA. Yo, he's a great guy.
He's friends with Doug because they live in Bisbee, Arizona.
Oh, and nice.
He was going to do the show, or he was going to do the movie as that part. All, you know, for scale, he knew the deal, and then I think his agent found out and he kind of backed out. But the sad thing is he called the day we were filming your scene while Doug was doing his amazing meltdown.
Yeah.
And I had to take the call as the producer to basically have him spend 20 minutes to tell me he wasn't coming.
Oh, geez.
And so I missed that whole take of Doug's meltdown.
Oh, man.
So then we got Goldthwait, Bobcat Goldthwait, who lived in Chicago, and he was going to come do it. And then the day before he was supposed to come, he got COVID.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was the hardest role to cast. And then Greg Fitzsimmons, so we had to rearrange the schedule. And then we got Fitzsimmons, who did a fantastic job.
Oh, he's great too. Yeah. That's great. It's funny. It is so tedious when you're making an indie film, just or any film, but mostly indies. You just don't have the money sometimes to throw at a problem. And but it is amazing how things do tend to work out sometimes for the better. Yeah. You know,
more time or more money if you had either one, but you know, and you know, the whole story, we had a producer who was there for 2 months and ended up not doing anything.
Right.
And if he got COVID 5 days before we were supposed to shoot and went to the hospital. And if not for that, we never would have known that he didn't do anything.
I remember
so when he was in the hospital, we went into his hotel room and we're rating it for all the plans. There's nothing. And so that's when Greg and Yuswain and I took over production. We basically had to do in 6 days what he was supposed to have done for the previous 2.5 months.
I remember getting a text from Greg. He's like, do you have connections to Chicago hotels? Do you have connections to this? And I'm like, oh dear, something horribly wrong has happened. But you guys rallied. You know,
if you're for people who may be interested in shooting their own independent film, we had no problem getting locations for restaurants, for bars, for homes, for, you know, outside of businesses. Hotels we couldn't get.
Yeah.
Nobody would, we couldn't even like rent a hotel room because they thought we were going to shoot a porno or something, you know? And then we finally found this Motel 6 where the manager had been a makeup person on a film. Oh, he's like, whatever you want. He gave us like 5 rooms, and half the hotels in the movie are all in that Motel 6 redressed to be different rooms.
You know, I auditioned for a porno once, Tone, and they told me I wasn't a good enough actor, and that hurt.
Yeah.
It hurt a lot. So I'll never do that.
Can I ask you this?
Yeah.
Was it a tearjerker?
I don't even, Conrad, I don't even know what I can say. We're on live radio here, so I don't know if I can respond with the punchline of my own joke. It was a jerker.
We'll wait 30 seconds and then we'll say the punchline.
That is horrible that you remember that. I'm so sorry that stuck in your brain all these years. We got someone, Carol Lynn, checking in the stream, says The Road Dog. I will watch it. And she says, I like independent films and foreign. Good for you, Carol Lynn. You won't be disappointed. It's a really good film.
Thanks, Carol Lynn. I appreciate the 0.23 cents that I will personally get from your viewing.
Every little bit helps. So we got a couple minutes before the news, Tone. I'm hoping you can hang with us through the news a little bit, but tell us about Out of the Loop, another film you produced.
So it's a documentary, just to be clear for anybody who wants, if you like comedy in general, and particularly Chicago comedy, it's a great documentary, and it's available on all those same platforms. I think Amazon and Apple, and just search on your Roku. But it's basically the sort of history of stand-up comedy in Chicago, and everybody that you know, people that you didn't even know were Chicago comedians, were interviewed. We did interviews in Los Angeles, in Chicago, phone interviews. Very proud of it. And it's Michael Alexander's idea and his baby. And he, you know, set up all the interviews and everything. And then Scott Perlman actually kind of took over editing and sort of found the story in there. And he did an amazing job putting it into its final form. But very proud of it. And it was a blast to do. And sometimes, you know, not always funny, like some of the interviews were heartbreaking.
Yeah. You know,
But
that goes with comedy too, is the heartbreak. And part of that is, and that's what I loved about the film, Out of the Loop, and you can rent that too. All right, we got to do some news. Civic Media's award-winning news coming up next. We have more with Tony Boswell. I'm going to ask him about bootlegging liquor when we come back. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Shaw, WAUK. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will be live at the Kamala Harris-Tim Walz rally in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. A very special show live on location. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trigvi Olsen, Senior Advisor with the Lincoln Project.
You know, one of the things I think that you've done with this show, and I'm proud to be a part of it, is we've really tried to get out and listen to people.
And that's why I'm so thankful to work for a company like Civic Media that allows us to do that. Because the more we get out and listen to our friends and neighbors, we discover they're not our enemy. We're all Americans, and it really is a melting pot.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.